and we're very pleased to have one of America's best known and respected military veterans writers in the country, and that is talking to us, and that is Leo Shane III from Military Times. Leo, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you the invitation here.
Oh, absolutely. You did such a good job at the American Legion Washington Conference at the seminar you led with the four chiefs of the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, a very important session.
I got them to behave for like the majority of that too. I was impressed. usually can only get them to behave for about 10 minutes, and then they start to go in all different directions. So,
well, it's what's veterans affairs and taking care of veterans and our military members is something everybody can agree on, which is one of the nice things. But you wrote in Military Times this weekend about continued concerns about the crisis of veteran suicides. Your article, Congress Wants More Answers About VA Campus Suicides. A number of suicides actually happened in or around VA facilities around the country. Tell us a little bit about what you found out about that.
Yeah, these are really focused on the, I don't know what to call them other than public suicides, folks who have decided to take their lives, in parking lots or in lobby waiting rooms, things like that. You know, VA has always had procedures for how to deal with veterans who are suicidal, who are already patients and are already admitted to the hospitals. But what we've seen over the last 18 months is that 23 folks have either gone to VA but not become patients, not been admitted, or just gone to a VA facility and gone in the parking lot and decided to take their lives. It's a growing issue. So what lawmakers are saying is, look, as we're seeing these cases, we got to get more information. We got to find out, are these folks who tried to get help and couldn't, are these folks who had other financial issues? We got to find out why people are doing this. So New York Rep. Max Rose, Democrat, he's looking at new legislation that would mandate certain information on these cases, that VA turn it over within 7 days for some information, within a month for other information. VA has said they provide some of this information already as soon as they can, but there's not that mandate there. I think it's just a refocusing on, another part of this suicide problem, unfortunately, one that's maybe a little more public than the other parts.
Well, we've seen that, and you've written a number of articles in the past year on this topic, that they said the number of cases of a veteran dying in the actual hospital or in around the facilities is down about 4 per 100,000 mm-hmm. admissions, and that they'd interrupted 240 suicide attempts in the past year. But it still isn't enough, and as the four members of Congress that you spoke to in Washington last month said, they've spent $8 billion on this, but they haven't been able to move the needle. Why has this been such a daunting challenge, preventing veteran suicide for everyone involved?
You know, one of the biggest problems is that 20-a-day number that I'm sure your listeners know, 20 veterans a day nationwide take their own lives. Of that group, 14 of them don't really have any contact with VA. So when VA says it's doing a really good job taking care of folks who are patients and bringing that suicide number down, that's important, but that's just a small fraction of the larger problem. The biggest part of the problem are these vets that VA can't get their hands on. They haven't been able to reach them despite all these efforts for outreach and other support services. So, you know, the challenge for VA and for lawmakers and frankly for the whole veterans community is figuring out how to get to those folks who either don't see VA as an option or just don't know about the other options out there, and how do you intervene, how do you get them the crisis services they need before these tragedies happen.
And Senator Tester at that meeting, who is the ranking member of the Senate VA committee, talked about the need for veterans organizations to reach out to veterans who may be at risk. He mentioned, he spoke to the American Legion and mm-hmm. and veterans needing to help other veterans to come into the system. Why do you think that's so important? And can veterans organizations make a difference?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're talking about folks who maybe don't trust VA or maybe just don't see themselves. Yeah, I hear from a lot of folks who say, "Well, I didn't serve in combat in Iraq, or I didn't see the bad stuff in Afghanistan. So the VA is not really for me. I shouldn't get that." And that's that's just wrong. That the VA is there for anyone who's a who's a honorably serving veteran, for folks who there's even emergency health services for folks who have other than honorable discharges, because as a nation we've set up VA. We say these resources are there to help deal with those mental health crises and those mental health issues. So I think there is a barrier in a lot of times for those veterans, where there might not be a barrier for them to go to an American Legion post or go to another veterans organization and say, oh, look, man, I'm dealing with this, or I need help, or I do these things. So having those resources available throughout the veterans groups really becomes important. Just that information, just knowing that the VA crisis line is available. We had a hearing just a couple of weeks ago where VA Secretary Wilkie was up on the Hill, and he pulled out the Veterans Crisis Line number, and he said, I want everybody to put this in their phone. I don't care if you're a veteran or not. I want you to have it in your phone, because you're going to talk to a veteran at some point. You may need to have this Veterans Crisis Line number, and it's important to have that immediate response. So, and you saw a lot of lawmakers, immediately pull out their phone, put it in, and start sending it to their staff, saying we should have that information readily available, however we can get it out there.
And that article taken from that number from the article that you wrote is 1-800-273-8255 for Veterans Crisis, direct to the Department of Veterans Affairs, and a great resource and plan. And talk with Leo Shane from Military Times. Leo, one of the programs that you mentioned or concepts that's worked very well in reducing veterans' homelessness is a voucher program from the Housing and Urban Development Outreach Program. And that's apparently had a big impact on reducing veterans' homelessness. A similar program is looked at for those who are at risk for suicide. How would that work?
Yeah, that's the question. The White House is looking at it right now as part of their new task force on veteran suicide, the year-long review. And that's one of the things they're looking at, is there a way to take that model and figure out how to give money to local services, to local organizations, and have them really engage with veterans on that level? Because the success they saw with the homeless program was that it's tough to mandate things from D.C. and put it back down. Usually the local resources are more effective, more direct. So they like the idea. They like the concept of it. The question is, how would it actually work? How can you gauge it? How can you make sure that you're hitting people who know what they're doing and do that? And it took a couple of years to get it, refined for the homelessness program. They're hoping maybe that's a model and idea they can just transfer over to mental health to save more lives.
Well, we've had a chance, and listening to your comments on the new Mission Act that was approved last year to transfer more resources to community health care for veterans. Is that something that could be that could focus attention on the needs of veterans who are at risk for suicide?
It could, and it could be another case. There's a lot of concerns about what it means for certain veterans, and is it going to be pulling money away here? But if things work out well, if it's a place where there's just more resources and more opportunities, you're talking about more options for veterans. So maybe if they don't feel comfortable with the VA, but they feel comfortable with the doctor down the street, they'll be able to go there. Or if there's a one day less wait, they'd be able to go somewhere else. So, there's a lot of politics and confusion mixed up with that Mission Act, and frankly, just a lot of questions that we're not going to have answered until it starts to get implemented. But I think everybody's on the same page that whatever mental health care they can get to veterans, they want to get to it. So there is a push in that whole movement to say, if we've got more options, that's good. More options is always going to be better.
Leo Shane III from Military Times, congressional reporter, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for the great writing that you do covering veterans.
No, I appreciate it. Invite me anytime.
Okay. Thank you, Leo.